Yeah, all right. It being the appropriate time, we call the meeting of Planning and Zoning for April 6th to order. We're going to change our procedures a bit today. We don't have minutes to review. We'll review both sets next time. And I do not believe that there's any old business. And because we have an agenda of items to do, but we also have, in terms of general discussion, the proposed project for 807 Bladen Street. And I think we should do that first, and then we'll go back to the rest of our meeting. So, Brian, do you want to set the gang up here? Or?
Yep, I'll share up on the screen there what we received. And I think maybe I'll just go right to the last page.
You guys want to, I don't know if you want to make any presentation or whatever, you can sit there. Okay, or we can switch around. It all works for you.
Sorry, I'm trying to get the view turned around here.
Zoom out.
Yeah. I don't know why I don't see the rotate view. I don't like not being able to. I mean, I guess north is to the right there. We can kind of see it.
Actually, this is good as well.
Okay.
You can imagine this as Bladen Street and the Linger Lane, my proposal. Although this is very subjective. I'm not saying that this is the final plan. This is something that I just did really quickly. So my proposal is to combine the 5.9 acre and the 2.45 into an 8+ acre plat. And I want like a high density townhomes planned on the 5.9 acre side and a mixed commercial on the 2.45. And then widen the Louisa Lane. Ideally, I would want it to go all the way down to the other side, but then we won't get the railway track approval and all that because there is a Louisa Lane on the other side too, right? But I don't think we can get the level crossing or a bridge or anything. That would be way too expensive. But at least this area, and I want to call it like a Charlestown downtown, densely populated area with a mixed commercial complex with shops and apartments on the two floors on the top. And the only challenge right now is, I mean, I looked at the zoning and everything, it looked like R3, but apparently we need conservation. We can't get these many units. And also there is a concern about having a mixed commercial there. So that's basically the idea. And I want to have like a public park open to public on the side, this whole area. That's going to be the public park that I want to open up.
How many homes?
That I have 78 there. 78. Yeah. But there is a minimum threshold for me to make this project viable. I probably am not assuming that I'll get approval for all 78, but that will be ideal. But if it's too low of a number, then again, that whole concept of having mixed commercial and and having like high density plan that I have here, that will not be viable. So I mean, we need to come to a consensus on what's the maximum we can go, and if that is viable to me, then I can start with my initial design and everything.
Sort of background for everybody here. 150-55 is the next step in the process, which is to come in with a tentative sketch. And as you look through the requirements of the legislation based on the public changes, it's a pretty exact task for them to come to. before, and this is the step before a preliminary plan. Right, but that's where it'll go. If we look at a subdivision plan, this is an easy enough thing by, I think, to make a determination, yes or no. The quirk in this particular plan happens, those two buildings you see at the bottom of the screen, they're in R3, and they would, if they come in for commercial purpose, that would change that block of land to commercial.
And I have one latest development. Last time when I was visiting this property, the one next to it, I think it's this one, I met Lisa. Her name is Lisa. She owns that house, right?
Right.
On the Lisa house. Yeah. And she said she's interested in selling it too. So then what happens is not only this, my new plan will be the other side also. Could be given a similar development. So that whole area in Charlestown is going to see like good intense development. And that's probably like, where I think we have residents on the other side of the town. They have to go all the way on Route 40, all the way down for going to the shops and all. And this is something that I want to bring into the heart of Charlestown. Like, they don't have to really go that far. Some good development and new development inside Charlestown.
I mean, if that's my vision. Her house, I thought her house was the property next to the stream.
Here, I'll pull it up on the screen. Okay. Here you go.
So I'm talking about this
to
one.
To the right?
This one.
The other side of the Wiser Lane.
To the right. To the other side.
To the left.
As well. So my proposal is only showing this lot.
It's up on the screen there.
Yeah. I want to make sure we're not talking about being on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Weren't you talking about this parcel right here?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm talking about that.
The other side of the street.
Okay. Yeah, because crossing the road on the zoning is
spark. Or probably, I can make that whole parcel into conservation as well, whichever works. But I'm not looking at this whole thing as like one parcel at a time. I'm looking at the whole big picture, big piece of land where we want to have like one good intense development, because these are already zoned for R3. So I would expect an R3 zoning is for having like not just a single family home and all that. We want
the R3 for what your project is. The R3 is a problem. Mm-hmm. Would be the commercial space, which isn't a problem to be dealt with. And I know you haven't done a lot of preliminary work with the number of units and the ground coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Ground coverage is a huge issue, as you well know, for the storm water.
Mm-hmm. I can go easy on the ground coverage. I'm not saying that, but even now with this numbers, I'm at 47%.
Mm-hmm.
How low should I go?
Oh, I think you're allowed 50 in the zone. Now,
It's controversial. What's the sector?
Yeah, that first parcel, Bomsey,
mm-hmm.
with the mixed use buildings on it, that 2.45 acres,
mm-hmm.
that lot coverage limit's 50%. It's mm-hmm. that
the second one.
Yeah, the 5.9 acre parcel, that's the one that it's still the base zoning's R3, mm-hmm. but it's in the critical area, that limited development area. It's the mm-hmm. As an overlay district, and that lot coverage is limited to 15%.
That is because I'm also like I'm wondering why up until this parcel it is IDA, and why did they leave out this part? I mean,
actually, these maps are just updated.
Mm-hmm.
The 1,000-foot critical area boundaries actually based off of the extent of tidal waters.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just 2 years ago that the determination was made by the state that was tidal all the way up to there. So that brought this whole area,
mm-hmm.
even this piece over here, 1,000 feet within the critical area for the first time, just wow. 2 years ago. The fact that property, even though it was zoned R3,
mm-hmm.
It was forest. So mm-hmm. the decision was made to make it that LDA.
So it's just recent development. Well, I mean, 15%, I think it's, if we can have some wiggle room, I can still work some numbers out. But if it is 5 acres and I'm only allowed to make it in less than 2 acres, it won't be viable. I probably can't even get 20 units up there. And the whole commercial is also based on the idea that there are residents nearby.
Mm-hmm.
So any businesses, any local businesses and local, the residents of Charlestown will be owning those shops and renting the shops and operating their businesses. They need some, residents close by for the business viability of those businesses as well. Like say there is a barber shop, there is a coffee shop. My idea is if you have enough residents there, so at least they will be breaking even just by those residents coming to those businesses. So it's the whole thing is tied together.
I think where Brian was headed is that the town of Charleston has its ordinances and we can listen to you and work with you. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, because there's so much tidal land,
mm-hmm.
and the tidal land is regulated by the state.
Mm-hmm.
And we have in the past signed an agreement with the state,
mm-hmm.
that we will enforce their laws on the critical area and tidal waters as if they're our own.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that when you go to them, I would be shocked if they had any wiggle room at all.
The only wiggle room I would chime in on there is, say the 15% lot coverage limit, mm-hmm. on that 5.9 acre parcel.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to apply for a variance,
mm-hmm.
to say increase it to 30%, and you had some kind of, mm-hmm. You could demonstrate that you had a good reason for that variance request.
That's the thing.
Have to be approved by our Board of Appeals, mm-hmm. and the Critical Area Commission, mm-hmm. would certainly weigh in on that proposal and give us comments that the Board of Appeals, the local Board of Appeals, would have to consider.
And we are against that is that it's more than 5,000 square feet. So for most homeowners, they can deal with some problems with the critical area, not, in some measure, but it's 5,000 square feet. It's, it's not this amount of acreage.
You mentioned it would be 30% last time, but when you're looking on the email, you're just saying it's 15%?
It's getting lesser and lesser. Last time it was 30. And I just found the county, and I think I spoke to Thomas, Tom, and he was... When he looked at his records, he said that is, you can actually go up to 80%, which was very confusing. And I don't believe he's probably done his due diligence.
No, well, I'll tell you, the county hasn't updated their critical area maps yet. So they probably don't know what our maps look like. But I guess to your question, and I probably misspoke. That's dependent on the acreage that you're looking at. I think it's like half an acre. You can go up to 30%, maybe even up to an acre. I don't remember, but it's like as soon as you get over an acre, it's 15%, and especially when you're proposing a subdivision, it's 15%.
But the 2.41 doesn't have any need.
Well, it's got that 50% lot coverage limit for the base zone.
Is good. I mean, if it's 50% lot coverage, I can get that because anyway, most of that 3.4 acres is in the park. So, and I was thinking something what I'm covering here can be added to the one next to it. And that way you consider that and get a little bit more wiggle room. But if you're talking about 15% and that's set in stone, that's probably becoming very unviable. What I was thinking is, I thought maybe I can take the two blocks, the two rows, all the way to the right, and maybe take off one, and I'm still good with the numbers. But if it's 15%, then I'm only looking at the first two rows and nothing else, which is 24 units, which is not that dense, and that will not be supporting this commercial because they need business too. So we can't rely on the business coming from the rest of the town.
How many, with the two buildings, Vamsi, how many commercial retail shops would you envision would fit in there?
I mean, actually, I would too, but I want to make it like an L shape. I want to make it more like a plaza style. But you can have like 8 to 10 shops on the first floor.
And you would need...
I was thinking like the same number of apartments, two floors up. Eight and 16. So that's what I have in mind.
And you so
16 apartments and 8 shops.
And you want to go 3 stories?
Yeah.
You know, there's a 32-foot.
It can be done. It can be done.
I just want to make sure.
I mean, I'm not building the loft size shops. The shops are probably the ceiling is 12 feet, which is a minimum, and then after that, I can still go up to 2 floors. Up.
So you have shops with apartments above it.
Yes.
Both buildings.
It's just one building. I put it as two buildings because I was in a rush, but I want to make it like an L shape, one single building. That'll actually even reduce the footprint a little bit with the same number of.
I was just curious, you know, if you got 8 businesses or 8 retail shops, we'll say, and then you got 8 apartments and you got 78 townhomes.
It's not 78.
Well, I'm just saying, because isn't it, or that's not what's up there now?
No, it is 78, but I have to refine the plan to reduce it. Yeah.
But you were tying those two together, I guess is my point, right? Like it was 8 retail shops for, we'll say, 86 residential units. If you could only get 24 residential units, could you shrink the commercial retail shops to map, to correspond?
I mean, at the end of the day, I'm making to look at like a little bit impactful on the town. The whole point is to get some downtown vibe here. If it's just like 3 shops and 4 apartments and 6 townhomes,
yeah,
it's
I'm assuming the townhomes are about 2,000 square feet, 1,000 square foot
about footprint. Yeah.
Not counting the hard surface, which is coverage also.
Right. Yeah.
And any hard surface.
He's
painting concrete.
Well, he's alleging in his plan that he's got 47% of the 50% coverage, as that plan shows for roads and buildings and
yeah,
retention basin.
Both parcels. Yeah.
I can bring it up to 7. I can bring it up to like it's now 47% coverage, right? If I go to 30%, all I need to do is just take the 2 rows. But if it is 15%, then the whole thing collapses. I mean, it becomes unviable. So that's what I thought. I'm still good. It's still viable. All I need to do is increase the, you know, the park area in the back and take these 2 rows out.
What's the square footage of the townhomes?
About 2,000, like it's a 2-story townhome. And I was thinking not to put a basement, but I don't know, that can change as well. Because it'll be like a basement below ground.
Well, I think before we ask you to come back to, you know, with the tentative sketch plan for everybody read 150-50, obviously what would be required in that, I think Brian needs to dig into whether it's 15% or 50.
Yeah, we'll verify that for sure.
It's when the state made the changes, they changed a lot for us. And while our zoning allows 50%, as you well know, dealing with government, you have to comply with the highest level of restriction. And they're saying it's 15 in that area because of the change in the how they interpret the stream. If we never went across the road before, we never went to the other side of Bladen with the critical area until they changed the maps. And again, we're obligated. And we are obligated to enforce the state standard on the critical area.
Yeah, that parcel across the street's the same. That's what IBA.
Yeah, so.
So 50% lot coverage limit there.
Yeah, the 15%.
Yeah, kind of like for the 5.9 acre parcel.
Yeah, that is make or break situation there. Mm-hmm. If it, even if it were 30, I could have done, but 15% is, like, basically, there's nothing. The 5 acres is on, like, I just have to leave the whole thing.
What other projects have you done?
I've I've done a lot of projects, and I can send you a...
In the county, right?
Oh, not in this county.
Where?
In Ellicott City, in Rockville, in D.C.
So you're used to that, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
There's one slide I want to show, if you can see how they do it in Ellicott City, and yeah. I don't think that is even possible, but if you go a couple of, like, properties in... So you see that? Those two... our plot size less than
8 acres.
We have here.
Yeah, less
this
than
one,
8 acres.
This one has 124. This one has 108. And they sold out within 15 days of opening up. And now the new ones that are coming in Ellicott City and near Turf Valley, those are even hideous. Like, you know, they don't even have decks. It's like big monolith blocks of townhomes. No street parking, and they're even like squeezing 150.
I'm seriously jumping the gun here, but what mm-hmm. do you think the average sales price is going to be?
I'm trying to price it in high 200s to low 300s. That is a segment that is not available here, and I think I spoke to Ken as well. Yeah. So I'm actually trying to make it like an something that is more affordable.
You can't break even under 300,000 a time. The tax that we get isn't enough money to pay for the services we provide.
Okay.
I realize that.
Just a bit of market. That's all I'm looking at.
Yeah,
is it a viable market?
That price point.
Is the town having any restrictions on price point? Or
No.
It's just the market, right?
No, everything's crazy.
This is us worrying about our finances.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the amount of taxes that we get on the home under $300,000 doesn't pay their way.
Oh, so I need to price it a little higher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's our problem, not yours. Mm-hmm. It's,
I'm more than happy to work with the town. I want something from the town as well. So, you know, you can help me. And ideally, like the 15% was something that I didn't anticipate. Because all the research I did before I put my offer on the land suggested that everything is in line. These are all both R3. Yeah. But this came as a surprise.
Right.
You know, the critical area, the change in critical area.
Trying to give an idea how long it would take us to find out.
I'm going to pull it up now so we can look at it.
Any questions for me?
One of the things that the commissioners have talked about is the modern looking buildings that might not go well here.
I can try to modify the architecture to look a bit more traditional, but still it will be shops in the first floor and apartments up. And I've seen... I mean, they're really historic, but I went to Harvey D. Grace, and there is all two streets where you have the same kind of setting, where you have shops and apartments.
That's not what they were talking about.
Yeah.
They were talking about the picture that you had.
That is stock image.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want it, it could be.
I can't do it. You know, that's what a lot of the townhouses are going for right now, because I work in Harper County, so I do see what's going on over there. But I know that the commissioners have talked about it.
But here's the thing. I mean, there are historic cities everywhere. I mean, I'm from Ellicott City, which is a historic district. But there is an area that's called historic, and everything else outside of that, it's all contemporary and even modern.
Right.
Yeah, and I've also seen that it's not an historic city, and it wouldn't hurt for a town beautiful as Charlestown to have a parcel looking into the future and not keep everything always historic. It's your choice, right? If you want it, like, you know, and then that all depends, like what is allowed, what is not allowed. But I'm more worried about the numbers and all that.
Right.
You can always change the look and feel. But the concern was not about having shops, right?
No.
It's only for the look. Okay. So it's still okay. If the zoning changes, I can have shops and apartments. Okay.
If it gets rezoned, right?
Yeah. I think the unremover for our comment,
the next step
is to publish. Yeah.
The other thing brought up was because of the stormwater master plan that we're working on right now and that we've bought outside of the town for cutting down trees.
Mm-hmm.
Is another issue of doing things inside saying we're going to cut this down. So we need to. That was the other issue that they were talking about.
But I think one-to-one replacement is fine, right?
So that's where the 30% comes into play too. Based on what I'm reading, I'll double check with the state, make sure. Lot coverage is limited to 15%.
Mm.
Forest clearing is limited to 30%.
So I can only clear 30% of the forest.
Yeah, of that 5.9 acre parcel.
Oh, so 70% has to stay as forest.
And it's 1.5 to 1 is the mitigation ratio. It's not 1 to 1, it's 1.5 to
1. Okay, and the mitigation should have...
And you got two options for mitigation, because
mm-hmm.
you can't do it on site, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be off site, or you pay the town a fee in the.
Yeah, you can see. I mean, if it's
that,
not
we that use it... that fee and leave to plant trees other places in the fiddle quarry.
The commercial space, who handles that? You're saying it would be rented out to other people?
It will be with the investors, and
they would be the lessors.
Yes. So the townhomes will be sold to whoever is the buyer, and there'll be new residents of the town.
Are they the potential being rented? If somebody owned the townhouse, could they turn around and rent it? I'm sure they can. Correct. If they moved and decided to just rent this house,
they buy rental, correct?
Yeah, if anybody buys the townhome, it's their townhome, okay. And I can't restrict them what they can do.
Okay.
But there will be HOA, and you know, even if they rent it out, it will be like you know, as like the renters should follow the HOA rules and pay the HOA fees. But yeah, I believe yeah, they can rent it.
Okay.
Any other questions from us? Any other questions from you guys?
Look back and check with what we can work with. And if that restrictions make it unviable, then it's good to know you all. But I do strongly believe like that's a good parcel. And you know, I looked at other towns around how beautiful this town is. There is a very good potential for a good project like that in Charlestown.
We would love to see another project come to town.
Yeah.
It's just that
mm-hmm.
we don't have what you might call wiggle room.
Yeah.
You want to check on the friend group?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess the numbers work out, then we can come back to the impact fees and all that.
Yeah, because there's a lot more work.
Yeah.
And you know, the next step.
When you guys had another question about a parcel for sale, I saw from was it your architect, Amit?
Oh,
you were looking at another parcel for sale?
No, I was saying parcel right next. Oh, that one?
This one.
Oh, yeah.
The 1721 Westville Philadelphia Road.
Yeah.
You wanted to know what was permissible. I mean, that's in the R2 zone.
Okay, so, but what's, yeah, this is another project that I'd be interested in, but that's my follow-up. If I succeed in this one, then I want to also work on this 29.95 acre flat, but we were not able to reach the buyer yet. So, but yeah.
The seller.
The seller, sorry. Okay. But this zoning, that's R2 is like
medium density.
It's like a.
I think.
For in the 29 acres, you can get 29 units of single family homes. Or is there conservation here as well?
Well, there's no critical area there.
Right.
Okay. That's
good. 60% coverage. But they're 10,000 square foot lots.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, and
look, 10,000 is the is 10,000.
Yeah. But that is 29.95 acres. That's a.
And it's only single family allowed in the R2.
That's fine. We are planning a single family as well. But I think that is not as bad in terms of zoning as the one I'm looking at, right?
And then, yeah. And then there is forest conservation,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like the critical area. It's not like you can only clear 30% of the forest. It might be the opposite. You might be able to clear 70% of the forest and have to keep 30%, but that would also, I think, line into our line up with our subdivision regulations.
It's a nice spot for single family housing.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I have an eye on that, but I couldn't reach the buyer. But for some reason, I feel like the one that I'm proposing is something that's really making an impact in the town. Mm-hmm. That will again be a single family, like a swimming pool. Like when you look at it in Google Maps, you have so many houses the same kind. This is something that will change the, you know, look and feel.
Charlestown has a lot of houses that are not the same kind. Mm-hmm. We're very varied.
Okay.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be in touch really soon, Bumpy.
Sure.
Next week, we'll try to get an answer.
Pam, your clients have left.
I think I'm going to leave as well. Thank you all very much.
Take care.
Yep, I appreciate your help.
You're welcome.
All righty.
May I express an opinion?
Sure.
It doesn't make me happy. I mean, I think it's just too much, too tight. I'm not too keen about having commercial space out there. I feel like they're taken away from us here. It's going to become like here, theirs, and ours, what it's going to turn into.
Well, the concern you might have is that how can we handle 8 to 10 new businesses when we have not started a business here in 50 years? Okay, and is there enough traffic for a place that, even though we're becoming more and more residential, still has a summertime aspect in terms of population?
That's why, you know, he said it was really important to tie together the number of the retail shops to the dwelling units. And if you're only allowed so many dwelling units, can you reduce the businesses? Or that's
fantastic in Frederick. I was up there and saw the mixed use thing. It's tremendous, and it's crazy about how many people want to be there, want to have the apartments. But they had restaurants below.
Where are we talking there?
Frederick, Maryland. I saw.
Yeah.
Basically, and I mean, people want to live above the store because it's their food store, it's their restaurant. But, you know, we have to look at scale. Well, here's the other thing. We don't have to look at it. Okay, their financial viability is important to them. It's nothing else. I mean, can you or can you not build this stuff? And do you have the zoning allowed for it? They're taking the economic risk.
Okay, I agree with that.
And I mean, 80 new units, to give you an idea, we probably put online in town 25 to 30 houses a year max. So you're looking at a 3-year supply of housing. Okay, so there, what happens when you don't fill these things? What happens if you have to offer that housing for other purposes?
There's so much to consider down the road on this, and I won't belabor it, but I think townhouses are fine, nothing against them, but I think the density of them and the fact that, you know, down the road, time goes on, 10 years, turn around, somebody rents it, then you have a problem with some tenants, and it happens, and it falls on us, and do we have a police force? No, we do not, and there's a whole regiment of things that we should think about, and I'm not talking about just
Timberbro.
And I've been exposed to that, and it's wonderful. It sounds like it's going to be great, but you got to think about what's going to happen down the road with this and where are the restrictions and what are the guidelines? And, you know, there's so much what ifs, and I don't mean to throw that out there, but I think about that.
Well, quite honestly, I'm happy we have elected officials because whether it's annexation or subdivision, you know, you open your municipalities opened up to future crime. Pressure on school, pressure on pressure on a lot of things. We are, as you go hearing banging the gong all the time, we do what we were directed to do by 175 and 150. And if we can't abide by something, we propose changes. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it's still up to the elected commissioners to decide whether or not they want to make changes to this. And mm-hmm. these things are, as much as they're cumbersome, they're not even laid out by the state law and by legal opinion, et cetera, to say that these are guides. You know, we have some leeway, not wiggle room, leeway, but there's not a lot. And it's sort of like this. It goes to critical area. It goes to critical area.
We also have to take in consideration, too, and we're still waiting for our water usage, right? Because it's being mapped out on the current subdivision that hasn't built out
mm-hmm.
the separate infill lots.
Right.
And can we have this many homes and what he's proposing across the street and the little ones that are coming now from on other ends? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to think about a lot of things. I mean, is mm-hmm. it getting to a point that we won't have enough of that? And
right.
Yeah. And that is the major one.
Major for us is the water, and major for Ken is going to be sewer capacity. Yes. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of issues, and fortunately, we don't have to decide all of them.
No, but I would the density and the amount.
I'm with you. I mean,
and the road coming, and that, of course, they've got to do the roads. They've got to widen the roads. You've got to have all that hill coming down on the Bladen. It's going to be a major problem.
When you read what they've got to do for the tentative sketch plan, the number of units that he's proposing is going to come down dramatically.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Because when you look at it, they're going to park underneath.
May need more open space.
Well, yeah, because they have to have 2 parking spots mm-hmm. per unit.
Yeah.
But then they could never have guests because
right. There you go.
The parking's not there. There's no overflow.
Once they begin to work, these 3 pages of what they've got to go improve. And that's the tentative plan. That's to allow them enough leeway to go make a preliminary plan.
That was the issue at Avalon and why that they backed out is that they wanted to use the lower lot of Avalon as parking, and the zoning board at that time said no. Which is correct.
You know, I'm going to digress here, which I tend to do, but I would be bored to find it like to see senior housing up there than anything else. But that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would rather see something like that done in a half circle cul-de-sac and taking up a little. And the store thing could go. Yeah. You know, if they come up with something that's peaking at our brains.
It's thought provoking.
And mm-hmm. and it's going to take, I mean, if they're going to come through with this.
And the other important part is our comprehensive plan, right? Like that yeah. tells us how we should change our laws,
right?
Not just elected officials. So, mm-hmm. and we're talking about updating our comprehensive plan. So what's our comprehensive plan say right now about their proposal?
The only positive I see in the comprehensive plan is you're going to put 80 units in that are going to come in and out of one road.
Mm-hmm. A lot of traffic. And is it going to be, the street's going to be wide enough for right. emergency yeah. services?
Yeah, actually, without the exit to 7, okay, to give the fire company 2 ways in, as a way to bring the construction vehicles in, and as a way to handle the traffic coming out of there. But they're not going to get an approval for Boston.
And that's the other thing. It's coming out. It's kind of funny to think. That intersection right there at Loiza and Bladen. Because it's a state road, it's tough now.
Yeah.
For the resident who lives there that might allegedly sell their property because of this project coming.
Is it the resident to the right or left of that property?
To the left. Yeah, if you're standing on the other side of Loiza.
Okay.
It's a blind spot right there.
It's a blind spot. Could you imagine the state requiring a traffic light?
And they would.
See, there you go.
It's like, how does that change the town? You know?
You need to understand, when I come up on 40, I don't want to see a traffic light.
I don't know if they would.
It is a bad spot. It could be a bad
intersection.
A very bad spot. Plus, you've got the water across the street. So you're
coming from west.
Yeah.
The sidewalk was put in there. You took your life in your hands when you walked through that area, you couldn't mm-hmm. see.
Even if you did away with that glorious retaining wall that was just built, I mean, it's still a hill.
What is the asking price? May I ask?
I don't know. The value of that land. Yeah, maybe the realtor would know.
I know it's my big concern is the water. That's a big one.
Oh, well, yeah,
of course, it's a water concern.
They're going to spend some money on infrastructure.
Assessed value of the land and the building was over 200,000. So
it sold.
Just that 2.5 acre parcel.
Actually, our first meeting, when I was surprised because I just assumed that when we told them if put in the road, if put in the water, if put in the sewer, then we have to put in the hydrants at your own expense and a water diversion plan, that it was going to be a relatively quick meeting. But they came in prepared to do all that. I mean, so
well, good for them. They did their homework.
Yeah,
I'm impressed.
Well, and that didn't deter them.
No,
you know,
Robin, so. You can chime in.
What do you think, Robin?
Oh, I'm listening. I'm listening. Well, after we end the meeting, I'm going to go online and look at the one unit in Ellicott City and then Owings Mills. But looking at the diagram of what they've already built, I really don't see any green space for the homes.
No.
There's not even a little yard they can put their grill in.
They may have been allowed 80% coverage. You know, a lot of places
and then
are ready for that.
I don't think we're ready for this.
But
and the did he mention how much the HOA will be a month and who's gonna oversee that?
I don't think they intended HOA.
No, he said
he was. Okay.
That'd be a requirement of the subdivision.
They're going to have a leasing agent for the commercial.
We're going to have investors were going to do the retail, and and he said there's going to be an HOA.
Which worries?
Then town maintenance wouldn't be responsible for that development. The HOA would maintain it.
That's a good question.
Well, HOA is supposed to maintain the detention basin. The town, what would be turned over to the town would be all the streets and the storm drains along the streets.
Streets.
Trash.
That's right. Yeah. See that trash truck getting there? Back.
Well, honestly, I would
tell you. Can you imagine?
You had to come in with 7. Yeah. Okay. I mean.
Because normally.
80 homes there.
Like they complain about, Trash Tech complains, not complains, but they have a tough time getting down Cather Avenue.
Sure they did.
Could you imagine building new Cather Avenue?
Go ahead, Barbara. You were going to say something.
Robin.
Yes.
The normally an HOA covers all outside maintenance, snow removal, grass cutting. All of that's maintained under the HOA, no. So I don't see where
I can go down the hill.
Go ahead.
The HOA that is over in the other development, that's not part of it. The town does that.
It's all in how it's written.
Yeah.
It can be different from every place to another.
Do you know what their HOA covers on the other side?
The common areas, the stormwater ponds.
You talking Cool Springs?
Cool Springs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Theirs covers the common areas, the park, and the stormwater ponds, and that bridge. Is the bridge or is it there?
Bridge is ours.
Oh, never mind about the bridge. The bridge is ours.
But it's a good point where they're approving another subdivision and stuff.
That's right.
Clamp down on an HOA. Although what they do is the HOAs go more bond after a few years. Nobody wants to serve.
Yeah. And townhouses depreciate very quickly.
Depending.
If you look at
what they
If you look at the different communities in Northeast and up through Elkton, you can see quite a depreciation. So that's all. But I'm going to look at his townhomes in Ellicott City and Owings Mills when we get offline and see what they look like.
Ellicott City is going to be tough because they are probably a lot more stark than we are.
Underwater.
Yeah.
Underwater.
That's
what you don't want
to be. Right. Anything more on the proposal on Bladen?
No.
If not, let's move on. New business permits.
Okay.
This is a
Bibles.
They are the unit that is the perfect word for it. Mm-hmm. You take them and put them under your pillow. And throw all the others away.
Hey man, I know it's that after I did it. I'm like,
they're upside down. You're not working my book.
It's easier to read.
When I take this out and put it in my book.
Put in your binder. I will. I'll bring them.
So what's he gonna do?
I thought it was genius, by the way.
What? It works this way. Yeah. But it doesn't work this way.
That's why there's chocolate and vanilla.
That was not my intent.
There's a clip at the top, right?
They didn't want to invent Teflon either, but you know what? There it is.
It happened. All right, so this is an interesting case. There's not a whole lot of lots like this in Cool Springs, but basically what happens...
do we have it up there or are we going
to... We're going to pass it around.
Okay.
What happened on some of these lots, I could probably show you on the screen.
That would be good for Robin.
And let me stop new share. Here we go.
Berm for sound or for...
It had a berm and he's taking it out.
Yeah.
Berm removal.
So here's the story.
Okay.
It is berm removal. Because during mass grading, when the forest mass grading, when all they were doing was cutting down the forest and moving dirt around, that active construction phase, before any homes or streets were even being laid out, the erosion and sediment control plan for Cool Springs had to install some berms as part of just moving rainwater into sediment traps.
Are you sharing this for her?
Hang on. Yeah. Sorry.
He's bringing it back for you, Robin.
Thank you.
I stopped sharing, but now I am going to share again. So we're going to zoom into where these berms are so everybody can see them. Like I said, it's just some areas that were left over. We're at 110 Steamboat. You can kind of see them on here.
You're making me dizzy.
Sorry. I was just zooming in. But you see that berm?
Yeah.
Yes.
It shouldn't be there. After mass grading, that berm should have been removed when the lot was final graded, I'll say.
And he's going to do this to this cost? Or is
it yep. But the reason it needs a permit is
coverage. Landscape.
Well,
the lot? 9, 10 at the top there?
It's this one right here.
Yes. Okay.
That's the lot so we're talking about. So he's
right up against that berm.
Yep. It, you know, it would give him a little bit more yard.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And really, remember, all it was doing was trying to funnel, as the land was kind of tilted this way, it was just funneling water down towards a sediment trap, which eventually became the detention basin. And so it still kind of acts a little bit like a stormwater swale, the berm itself, but it's not critical. It doesn't have to stay. It's not a part of the stormwater management plan. And on some of these lots, it was just left over. It was missed. It was not removed. Basically, the developer or the home builder should have removed it.
How high is it?
Yeah.
3 feet?
2.5 to 3 feet, yeah.
But it's not on his property.
It is on his property.
Oh, because I'm looking at the diagram here.
And that's his property. See, that's the berm right here.
Right, I see it.
This guy's name.
It's corner there.
This guy's name is Michael. Michael and Rachel Ashbrook.
It's a corner of the property.
Yeah,
and that's just the house.
And if
it goes the whole way back, the red line, right?
Yeah.
It's
the building.
Okay.
Envelope.
Okay. That's the opposite.
And let me show a little bit here, maybe a different year aerial photo. Maybe you could see it more clearly when it was under construction in 19. See that berm now? See how it goes across these lots?
Right. Okay.
It's still there. And Mike and Rachel just happened to be one of the first property owners that says, hey, Charlestown, can I get rid of this berm? It's not really doing anything. It's not helping me with drainage. I can get more yard.
That's what my concern, I was going to ask. If they put it in to move the water that way, is it, and then they move it, is their yard going to become a pond?
That's exactly what I think about.
No, because you think about the final lot grading, it's all graded away from the house.
Yeah,
and there's still, per the stormwater plan, water is still moving this direction. And that water is going to move that direction, whether the berm is there or not. And
but what I'm saying is if they move the berm, is it going to move the water closer to their house and come over into the rest?
Makes me think that. No, you don't think so?
No.
We've
talked this over ad nauseum with the town engineer. It really makes no difference. It's not in conflict with the approved stormwater plan.
Okay.
The berm should not be there. It should have been removed. By it disappearing, I think generally homeowners need to know, like, hey, this is a swale here, right? And you don't want to obstruct it, you know, just like we talk about not allowing sheds and stormwater easements as an example. There is no stormwater easement on this property, by the way. The original stormwater plan for these lots in particular, they were just supposed to sheet flow into the woods. And so really removing that berm is going to allow it to do what it was originally.
Are there still woods back there?
There are woods back there. So, and that was my concern. I said, hey,
it's just dirt. It's just going to. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Well, but that was the intent.
Yeah.
What easement is on this lot is a forest conservation easement. Okay. And that's why I said, I think you need a permit to remove this berm because we need to make sure you're not cutting down anything in the forest conservation easement, which they are not.
The first persons that have come along with this particular request.
Yep. Okay. And so we talked to the county about it. We talked to the town engineer. We think it's a viable solution. You get a permit, make sure you're not clearing a forest conservation easement. You're not in conflict with the stormwater management plan.
So what are they doing with the dirt? Just shutting it up in the back or what?
I don't know what they're doing with the dirt.
Okay. Yeah,
I think it's leaving the property.
Okay. All right.
I think it's being removed.
But if they just move it out, would that change the grading? And would it move the water in a different way that it shouldn't be?
Yeah, we probably need to tell them that if we give them the permit.
We didn't get into that level of detail, sure. But, like I'm saying in my mind, that dirt just is removed from the property. And I think that's what their intent is, but maybe that should be a condition of the
property. Probably should, because you don't want to create another problem down the road to the neighbor or someone.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right in thinking that the subdivision plan did not call for the berm to be permeated?
Yes.
Okay. So all we're really doing is allowing the original subdivision plan to be
accurate
many years later.
But it's smart to think about, you know, not creating.
I mean, if you're going to pile the dirt up, it may be somebody else. I mean, shit can happen.
Mm-hmm. So is that your motion? Condition upon removing
the dirt? I make a motion.
They're having a contractor come in. Is it just their house or is it the whole?
It's just their house. Yep, it's just this one here.
But the neighbors will see it.
I think so. I think we'll start getting them one by one.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking, how are you going to get the dirt to the street?
Yeah.
Wheelbarrows.
Wheelbarrows.
Let's look at the property. Look, it does say this, like in the description of work. What? Sorry, I didn't pass this around. I'll pass it around. The dirt displaced would remain on the property.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
And the reason the dirt would remain on the property is to mitigate the heavy saturation and standing water.
There you go. There we go. We nailed it.
Better increase the functionality of the stormwater runoff.
Let's hope so.
The berm would be leveled to the current slope and not impede the natural flow of stormwater runoff. HOA doesn't need, or I guess HOA approves of it. They don't have
it. For the amount of dirt that they're moving, do they need to have the silt fence?
No, because they're under 5,000 square feet. They say that in their first sentence.
I know what we have, but we've talked about this in the past, like this property that was down here that had dirt flowing everywhere and mud and stuff and all that. So neighbors and my happy.
That's the one I'm working.
Yeah.
Well, he came in for a 2,000 square foot disturbance, but it's the full lot that's been disturbed, you know.
That's something I would say.
You can at least get a culvert out of that.
We need to kind of change that because.
Okay.
Even if we absolutely could. If it's less than 5,000 square feet, I think.
I think with
2,500.
That's an example of.
Yeah, right. Why?
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 Well, I'm getting well, and, you know.
Yeah, and if you recall, we approved the permit. A lot of it was contingent upon it not being 5,000 square feet, but 2,200 square feet. All right, so the motion on this one is?
Approve 2328 for removal with the stipulation as they put in their application that the dirt will be veined on the property.
Yeah.
And that the grading will not affect neighboring properties.
Okay. Motion by Ursula.
Oh, I was going
to. Okay, well, go ahead.
I wanted to ask a quick question. Would he be required once the grading is done to put down some kind of ground cover to keep runoff going over to the neighbors?
Well, he would have to put down grass. It's not in the forest conservation easement, so he doesn't have to do any kind of plantings, you know, native plants, but he would have to put grass down to stabilize it. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 So it's, I just want to make sure, noticing that the grading cannot affect neighboring properties mm-hmm. and dirt.
Okay. Remain on property.
Yeah. Right. That's what basically is an addition.
Remove dirt will remain.
Based on what's the description of the work on the permit, mm-hmm. what would be added is that it's not impacting neighboring properties. Yeah.
First pool of the year.
Pool deck.
Pool and a deck.
Stick that.
I'll pass both around then. Let me pull it up on here. Didn't seem, Tom, that there was any issues with setbacks.
What?
I don't think there was any issues with setbacks right in the middle of the yard, adjacent to the house.
Do you have this property up there?
I'm pulling it up.
So you can kind of show Robin the property.
Depending on which
weather person you listen to, they say, and that one, a couple of them were saying right before I came that fizzling out.
Oh, so
the worst would be to the south of us.
I have windows open because I got spring from me today.
You got them closing windows?
Prosperous home.
So, Robin, I'm going to draw on here where this permit's going.
Thank you.
Pool in the deck. It's something like that, isn't it, Renee?
Yeah, the deck is it's even with the little white patio right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pool's right in front of it. The pool is right where the next, yeah. Right there,
that in that space.
Get this address down, keep it in your loan so that you know where to go when it gets too hot.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I make a move again?
Sure.
Okay.
Is there a one? Oh,
2329.
Is there a fence around
21 foot ground pool self installed family deck 15 by 16? Don't see anything about a fence.
Yeah,
but it's an above ground.
It's an above ground pool, but yeah. They need to have a
gate,
a fence, or they need to have a barrier.
But they can't.
But they can't fall into the pool. And they talked about having a fence around the deck, but it's not specified on there. It's not.
15 by 6 deck.
And the good news is that county's got the same requirement we do for a barrier.
I think that should be put in there to make sure that the barrier is put mm-hmm. there.
Go to recent events.
Okay, your turn.
Okay, your turn. I motioned to approve this on condition that a barrier is put in the...
A barrier or a gate?
Gate barrier that they can't just walk up onto the deck.
Right.
Children's.
Lockable gate.
Lockable gate.
I think that's in the building code. That's what is considered the barrier, is a lockable gate.
Okay.
Actually, it could also be a cover without any fences or gates, just a cover on the pool.
Right.
But, second. Thank you, Tom. All in favor, say
aye.
Aye.
Okay. And you just take 23, 30, 31, 36, and 37, which are tree removals. And we're doing what we do, which is recognize that the zoning administrator is an indicator.
What the zoning administrator?
The zoning administrator has already approved them. So all we do is recognize that. If
I'm not, so with the yay.
Yeah, it's not a motion or anything for us.
Okay.
Who's
that
on
Caroline?
32.
Who's that on Caroline Street? It's not my son. It's, no.
No.
I think he's still on the craziest one, dude.
Yeah, it's the next block down.
Okay.
You pulling up that house next?
Yeah. Amit, I saw you joined us on Zoom. Your colleagues, Vamsi and Mahesh, we moved them to the front of the agenda, just so you know, and we reviewed their proposal. You're welcome to hang out with us if you'd like. We're just doing permit review.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you so much. I will, talk to them about whatever we discussed. That sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
You're Thanks. Welcome.
Another deck.
It's summer.
And then another pool.
And a fence pool and a pavilion and a deck. That's what we're doing.
I don't have room for a pool.
Some big salesman must have gone with my hand over this.
So it's a deck permit. Again, it's kind of like the pool permits right on the back of the house. I'll draw it on here.
I suppose I like my new toys.
No. Oh, you're that is slow.
This is a tablet and
it's right within.
it's a pen.
Oh, cool.
My new toy.
Have you used the stylus?
Yeah.
You know, you like it? Once at that time, you're going to be able to be on the space shuttle.
No,
right. So you're doing the minutes? Or are we recording the minutes?
We're recording.
Okay. These are just my notes.
Okay.
Because one of the reasons I'm not doing this is I lost my book and I don't know where I put it. It's somewhere. It's kind of. You should never have admitted. So now it goes. This is connected.
What are we doing here?
Devices. So now I can go. Wait a minute.
He's showing you where the deck
that's where the deck's going.
Okay.
On the back of this house, 106 Saratoga.
Okay, so the deck. It's a deck pool, right?
No, this is just deck.
Go with the next one. I'm getting confused.
I know. They're running together.
That does seem like a typo from the HOA. Yeah, the HOA letter is talking about a fence.
Fence for the deck.
Let's see, check the number.
It's the same address.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to ground this.
Are you talking 2332?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same address, 106 Saratoga Court.
I think we need to
confirm. Is that all you can show us? Is that you don't know what name? Okay.
Yeah. Let's see their pop ins. Yeah, I mean, there's no, it's just a deck.
Yeah, that's what I was like.
Yeah.
What is that? What's the percent?
The HOA letter's a typo.
We need to confirm.
So is he putting up a fence or a deck?
Yeah, right. Which is it?
What an eight deck he's putting up.
Right.
Okay. So it's the HOA called, not the
HOA people.
Yeah, really, it's been a pretty fast process. The new property manager for the
HOA.
Why
does he have a Baltimore address on there? Is that where he lives?
I think so. That's what he wrote down. That's why I had to write in the physical address.
The owner? Baltimore. And he rents it. Does he rent it?
Yeah. Let's find out who the owner is.
Huh?
You got an Airbnb. That's why all these pools are going in.
No, Ryan Green's the property owner. I'm not sure why the... address was there.
So anyway, he's looking to put in by this, and we're going to confirm with the HOA, it's a 16 by 24 deck off the back of the house.
Yeah, it looks like the HOA made a mistake.
Yeah.
But the HOA's got a new property manager, and that property manager's been really good about sending us those letters.
With enclosed stairway, it's going to be up out of the ground. Apparently, that's what it says. Composite decking with enclosed stairway. That's how it's up above the ground. Is that a two stories? Or is it above ground? What's the story? Why does he have that?
I thought the deck was on the first floor. Not sure what that means, the enclosed stairway.
With the enclosed stairway. Unless it's...
railings?
Unless it's somewhat... He doesn't give us a height. He just talks about the width, 24 by 16. But he doesn't say how high it is. 268-foot, 4-foot high aluminum fencing. Is this the same for us?
That's what we're saying. This is the thing.
Oh.
It doesn't seem like
this is a form letter and they're putting this in, and I bet they just, I think it's more of, it was an oversight. That's why I'd say if we approve it, it needs to be on the condition that we get an updated HOA.
Okay, well, when you look at the applicant, it's Abby Fence.
Maybe that's why it's
the Baltimore. Abby Fence, and the Baltimore address is a business. That's Abby Fence. That's the deal.
Mm.
And 106 Saratoga Court is the location. So they're putting composite decking, but it's Abby Fence doing it. So it's confusing.
It is confusing.
We're confused.
We better get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, clear the air.
Okay. Okay. Proposed to conditionally approve 2332 once we confirm that the application is for decking on it.
Or and or both.
And or both, yeah.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Canal pool.
All right, this one's over in the manor. In the critical area, so they'll... they're under their lot coverage limit. They'll need to do some landscaping as an offset. But they had an above ground circular pool. They're just going to the bigger oval shaped pool.
Is this above?
Yep, above ground.
Getting a bigger pool.
Hot or something? Be a hot or something.
And how much square footage are we allowed to do? I know it says 10,000 square feet. How much?
5,000.
That's the lot size.
So it's still under the 5,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm just reading your notes, and I just want to make sure.
Yeah, the lot coverage limit.
I think that's
wow. That's a gust.
Oh.
What? That's the wind.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at that. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm saying, you said the storm's going away. I was wondering.
I said, no, I said it depended on which weather person you listened to.
So yeah. I said it was supposed to say south of us.
So. That's what I thought too.
It worked. It's barked now.
What's it saying,
Tom? We started getting into the bad melodies, but now it's.
We better pick up the pace.
We'll be here when it snaps.
What is this? There's a garage here. Is that what this is? This little thingy here?
That driveway.
Oh, the driveway.
Yeah, I got it up on the, there too.
Okay. I was confused.
Cornfused.
Yes, I was. We're very cornfused.
Somebody else's turn.
This is the bird. 22, 33.
I looked. Oh! Robin, would you like to do one?
How about seconding something, Robin?
Hello. What? I'm sorry, I missed that. Go ahead.
Second, if you would.
23, 33. I'll second it.
Okay. Yay!
All in favor say aye.
Do not make eye contact.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, there you are.
All right. Next up is the fence at 317 Market Street. This is next to the Market Street Cafe. Height is 4 feet. Will be placed 6 inches in from the property line. Historic District Commission has approved it, but I'm just waiting for their formal signature on the permit.
Where is it going? Back front.
It's connecting the back and the other side, opposite from the restaurant. Because the restaurant already has a fence, that side.
Well, the driveway, let me see. The right side of the restaurant.
And I'm going to
pull it up. There's a fence going down the right side.
Yep.
Because she lives next door.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to put the fence where? Further down?
Connecting. Yeah. Here, I'll show you. Watch this. I'm going to draw it.
Okay, you do that.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's going this way. Because there's the existing fence. To the parking lot.
So the puppy doesn't escape. The puppy?
The puppy.
Well, what about this part over here?
This part.
There's a fence there.
Where you?
He has a fence.
No.
There's a fence.
And
oh, that's right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, there's already a fence here. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, I got you. All right, so we're okay. I was thinking of the restaurant. Because
yeah, there's only a fence.
Okay.
There's only a fence right here.
Yes. Yeah, down at one side.
Granted, yeah, the rails go quicker, but yeah,
like to there.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I? May I?
And the red roof in is the fire hall.
No,
that's Market Street.
Is it really?
This is her house.
Oh, on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm turning around.
Red Roof Inn. They got hotel rooms too.
Stayed at the Holiday Inn. You're experts.
I move to approve 2334.
Robin.
I'll second.
All right.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Just so it's on record for the ones that are at home in case the power goes off. The storm is coming in. Just want to put that out there in case
somebody call my husband and tell him shut the windows.
Shut the windows.
Is he warning us but anyway? So
you want to give me his number?
No, that's all right. I got my pins out.
Oh, this is a good one. Fence a pull on a pavilion.
Alrighty. I open windows and he doesn't.
All right, next. This is a fun one. Just so you guys know, we're
I don't want to say debating, but we're talking with the county about changing the address for this property. Is that Baltimore and Ogle Streets? I had originally given an address of 226. The county thought it should be 220. I said, all right, that sounds good. But really, their driveway is on Baltimore Street. So we're thinking they're going to need a Baltimore Street address. But this one's fun. It's a couple of projects. It's a pool with a fence, in-ground pool with a fence, fiberglass in-ground pool.
You want to pull it up here so Robin sees?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing on it now, but it's okay. I'll pull it up.
Kind of put it on the diagram.
In-ground pool with a fence and a pavilion. Bless you. Historic District Commission was wanting more information on the pavilion. So that information should be forthcoming. What I had gathered was it's just four posts and a roof.
Oh, a gazebo.
I mean, without even any walls. What's tricky for us is the fence. If you see how the...
Where's the front of the side?
Right.
Yeah.
It's a corner lot. Do you remember this diagram?
Oh, this is the new one?
Yeah.
If they're buildings, can you kind of put it up there? So you can maybe put where it is?
Remember we put this in number 75?
What? Yes.
You know, where are the front yards? Where are the front yards on a corner lot?
Right.
So let me draw the house. The house is going to be here. You got to follow me so you see all these lines. I'm going to have to do like connect the dots, but all one line. I'll just draw the fence. How about that? What they wanted to do with the fence was come out here. This is the challenge for planning and zoning. Because Ogle Drive is a front yard. And we say fences in front yards can only be 3 foot tall. Mm-hmm. The building code says for pool fences, they got to be 52 inches, 4.5.
Where's the pool? Is that triangle the pool or is it the house?
The pool. There we go. Ready? Here's the pool.
The house is being built. That's
the know the house is being built.
Here's the pool.
Okay.
Hang on. That was crazy. Now I got to start over. There's the pool.
The first box at the top, that's where the house
is. Yes, I got it.
Yep.
And then the fence is going to be to the back of the house to the road.
House. X's house.
The back of the house too. Okay.
Right. So, you know, when you're fencing in your pool area, your quote unquote backyard, you're fencing it in. Now, corner lot has two fronts, no rear yard setback. There's two sides for the diagram there.
How far, what's the setback? Is it 32 feet? What is the setback on the corner lots?
It's 30. 30 on the fronts, 5 on the sides.
It's not going to the road either. It's just to the back of the house.
Well, he originally wanted it to go up to the front property line on Ogle Drive. And I said, sir, I believe that would only be allowed to be 3 foot tall because fences now in our amended 175 can only be 3 foot tall in front yards.
Well, it's also setback of the road too. Ogle has a 50 foot thing right there too.
Well, it's a 30 front setback.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the street.
The road right of way is 50 foot?
Yes. Mm-hmm. True. So they couldn't put it to the road anyway.
I'm sorry. I'm saying, I mean, to their front property line, to the edge of the road right of way is where he wanted to put it.
Well, he can't, he's got to use the same frontage, front and side, front distance, correct? Or same distance, front and side.
Yes,
30 foot setback on the front and on the side.
Right.
For the house.
Because he's a quarter lot. Not for the fence. He can go bigger on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The fence can go all four corners if you want, just 6 inches in from the property line.
I think you have to step back. So. But it's just a thought.
But as soon as I said you can only have a 3 foot tall fence in a front yard, he said, all right, well, I'll pull it back then. Mm-hmm.
For what fact?
Oh. The fence. So what he's deciding would be more agreeable because he wants a 6-foot tall privacy fence. His fence would go like this.
Next to four.
He said, never mind. I'm going to keep my fence out of the front yard. Since you guys say it can only be 3-foot tall.
All right. So he's not going to put a fence in the front of
it. Correct.
All right.
Just around the pool.
If we were going to be sticklers and say, hey, this is a corner lot.
It is a corner lot.
And it's a front yard. And it can only be 3-foot tall.
It can only be 3-foot tall.
And he doesn't want to go for a variance to
make
it 6-foot tall in the front yard. So,
well,
so he's not going to have any fence at all, is what you're telling
him. He's gonna back up the fence and make it 6-foot tall.
Oh, he is.
Yeah. And I get what he's doing there. It makes more sense. And he'll be happier with it. I don't know. You know, I'm guessing he'll be happy with it.
I'm just saying it's kind of interesting, right?
Unintended consequences.
We made this law change, and we have two permits tonight that...
Right.
And two different scenarios.
And that really was done, by the way, so that on a corner lot, you couldn't have a fence obstructing the view at the corner at the intersection. That was its purpose. It wasn't for the far side of the lot.
The view for whom?
A driver. If you had a fence all the way up to your corner.
Then you can't.
See. So that's why, that's part of why
okay.
a corner lot has two front yards.
Suppose you don't bring it to the court. Suppose you had to bring it up 10, 20 feet off the court. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you'd still be in the front yard. You're right.
Yeah.
Unintended consequences.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
There's no reason not to approve this. Because, okay. All right. So,
I think historic district still has to approve it.
The pavilion.
Yes.
Okay. Move to approve 2335 conditional upon historic. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Oh, wait. Any further discussion?
Aye.
Aye's here too.
Aye's have it. All right. She's coming back and doing another deck.
In the front?
Yeah.
She liked the one
2 months ago.
She replaced the
rear deck.
All right.
This month, the front deck.
Not what you're going to put them both in at the same time to save some bucks.
The back one's very nice.
Now, I need to cross this out. It is not pressure treated wood. Existing with pressure treated. So you see in the packet here, she's going with Trex.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
And it looks very nice and historic approved. Just not signed yet.
I haven't bought Trex, but I understand it's fearfully expensive.
Now. Very expensive, and it can be slippery.
And it's hot. That's what
it's not changing the size or anything.
No. Yeah. Same footprint, yes.
Yeah,
Sarah doesn't look like this. Oh,
and it was like stuck down into the pool area. It was like,
good Diane.
Yeah,
good for her. What the heck?
Yeah,
nice looking deck. The one in the back, it'll look nice on the front.
Same footprint.
Thanks,
so Tom pointed out. Yeah, because I'd say that's a non-conforming setback there.
Yeah.
The front deck.
Yeah, well, it is.
And Diane told me all about that story a long time ago.
Sure,
Ursula.
She did.
Yeah.
I'm sure she did.
It was a good story.
I come to my house and take your steps out, try to have your sideways. Okay. Move to approve Miss Diane Litz's permit for 2338.
Robin?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
This is the one I can put in my.
This one?
This main beam replacement. I mean.
Garrett.
Yeah.
In the basement? Does he have a basement or is it where is it?
There's a crawl space.
Oh, dear God.
I'll send you the whole packet. This one's on hold, by the way, that I put in the email.
Who is this Jackson O'Cather?
That's the contractor, Charles Jackson. The owner, Stephen Jones.
See the guy that has the little blue cottage at the very end?
Oh, the swamp house.
Going to do it air,
this,
air,
this is the swamp house.
Swamp house,
yeah.
Yes.
Short-term rental, yeah.
Well, they did all this work inside, and now they're going to put a beam in?
Yeah.
All the appliances probably there.
So
I all this renovation to this place.
I said, hey.
Oh, you see, as you come over the bridge.
Yeah, sorry.
Place where that's at, exactly.
You can imagine working on that. Ooh. Yeah, wall space.
I had a hot water pipe break and it snapped.
You guys want to see? You want to see the floodplain?
Yeah.
Because that's why it's on hold.
That's a real. That's a joy.
I had a hot water line leak and break the middle beam in the kitchen, and I had to get it back. I put temporary jacks under it to the insurance company.
It's not any water.
To say, fix this.
Yeah. Scares.
I didn't do it.
I guess there's no question that this is in a floodplain.
Oh, I know it is. I have pictures of it wherever you've missed my
water.
Wherever you've lost my pictures, Brian.
I have them. I didn't lose them.
Yeah. Of that house being underwater.
It's mosquito heaven.
When
Skeeterville.
Deep Summer
Isabel came up, he saw a little teeny tiny top of the roof.
Right there.
So here's why it's on hold, similar to the sprinkler system requirement that we have. When the cost of your project exceeds 40% of the value of the structure, you got to sprinkler the whole thing, right? In a floodplain, when the cost of your project exceeds 50% of the value of the structure, you are treated like new construction. So what that means, if you wanted to build new on this lot, you need to elevate that house about 7 feet.
Which is what we suggest. I had said in my own mind.
Imagine that.
When it came up that it needed to go up.
Floodplain regulations working.
Right. How come
that one definitely needs to go up?
Yeah. Did you apply for permits when they did all the work?
I don't know.
So the theory is this place... The beam has to be raised 7 feet.
So this particular grant permit was just to replace a section of the main beam supporting it and jack it up using these IntelliJacks.
IntelliJacks,
yeah.
And they have a cost on there, $15,000. The state tax assessment says the value of that structure right now is...
This says $9,000.
Or $9,000, I'm sorry. The value of that building is only $13,000. Well, so I said, "Up, you're over 50%."
I haven't seen it.
That's why it's on hold as we sort out those details.
With renovation, it's probably the new one jacked out.
I have not seen it.
And I guess even if he wants to jack it later, he needs that beam in.
So now the question is,
and a whole other deal here.
Right. Do you demolish and build new?
What he should have done, or he should have just, I don't know what he should have done. He should have gone off.
My thing is, okay, these IntelliJacks are on compacted aggregate base.
Yeah, they look like solid cinder blocks.
Yeah.
But with, we know what water goes, is that going to be an issue too?
I think the fact that if they're putting this amount of money into a building that's only worth so much,
of course
they need to elevate it. So this whole proposal may not work. They may have to go back to the drawing board and think, how do I elevate an existing house? What's the best way to do that?
There are three companies in Maryland that don't open the connect.
It's a shame. I feel it's like, I hate to say this on record, but they almost went past backwards.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't look at the potential was there. I talked to that man before they started
on
the beach one day, and I said, you do realize it's working.
Well, at this stage, we can't approve it because of the finances, right? I mean,
It's on the list, so I figured I'd share.
Okay.
So,
oh my.
I suggest we table this. Everybody good with that? All right.
Next is another fun one with fences and setbacks, because this is a, I don't know if we want to call it a corner lot or not, but I didn't even notice this on the
Gerardi,
on the figure that we adopted. Look at the one on the upper right, bottom road. It says road or waterway.
We're talking about.
Yeah.
Richard's property?
No.
No?
Next door.
The massive house?
Yeah, massive house. Yeah, that's what's up next. Keep my mouth shut. Massive house. A fence. A fence proposed at massive house.
That's the one we'd like to appeal on.
Yep. And here's the other thing that makes me kind of scratch my head about setbacks, right?
She thinks she owns a waterfront.
Yes, she does.
Well.
And we are getting it surveyed, and you told me you were going to be putting the pegs in because I have residents that are calling me about that. Mm-hmm. And you told me that it was almost done with the survey of that area.
Well, the survey of Footlog's done, and Footlog doesn't, no, or Bladen Street doesn't go down.
No, I asked you. To go through, I asked you if it was done through Casper, and he said, yeah, it's almost done.
We were seeing if it reached Tasker, but it doesn't. I can't tell you Bladen Street.
I'm not asking that. I'm asking for the right-of-way of that area.
The sewer line easement?
So it's a 10-foot right-of-way.
Yes.
We haven't surveyed it. Sherlock. We can.
That's what I was asking you all this time.
Okay. Said, then I misunderstood. Sorry. We didn't survey it.
And I said it in the meetings about it because we need to have that out there because there's newer people that are coming in there and they're not understanding that is not their property.
Right. And that's fine. I'm just saying there was a time where we thought maybe some of Bladen Street reached down to Tasker.
Never talked about Bladen Street. I had always asked that when you're doing the survey, to make sure you go the whole way to Tasker.
Mm-hmm. Well, there may well have been.
Then I misunderstood. Period. Sorry.
It may as well have
been. Because we need to make sure that as new people come in, they realize that that is not their property.
Right.
Are we talking about the way in the house? I thought the other part was part of.
If we just draw the sewer easement on here, I mean, we could. Well, they need some maybe. You could talk to the county about this. I wonder.
Even though I know where it was
safe.
I don't.
She took them out in front of me.
Who did?
That sewer line. I don't even think we need to survey it.
The stakes are? You've been surprised.
I think there's an easement. Probably on a deed.
Sure, because of what we are talking about to doing in the future.
I know.
And that's why I specifically was saying that we need to make sure that whole area is surveyed so that residents are not caught off from that area because it's been the walking path and everything else to come over into town.
Yeah. I mean,
right at the very corner there, they kind of come together just a little bit, but she does not own the waterfront.
And where it was, where the pegs were, it only came down halfway over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's
because when I lived white, on past,
is this past your house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, it's just yeah.
Where Richard's right there.
The two white posts that are sitting up there. I think it's somebody put there to designate that the Tasker came down that way.
Yeah, we think that's Tasker Lane.
Yes.
Road right away.
So yes, that was done when Steve was on the board that they figured out that because it used to be the other way and it got moved after being surveyed that was the street going down.
Yeah.
And so where does she want to put this fence?
Yeah. So just so I understand, Renee, there's an easement for this sewer line that's on deeds, but you want that marked from, you want it surveyed and flagged from Tasker Lane right away up to Baltimore Street, or probably don't need to mark it all the way up to Baltimore Street, but I guess we could.
It needs to be, because I was saying that we also need to have those little, like, here's with the rope that says, this is not, don't walk into the yard.
Okay.
Do you remember this conversation?
I do.
Well, this is a test of the problem where we have two of the roads that are both past it. No. Side by side, isn't it?
No, this one, there's a lane.
Okay.
There used to be, the telephone pole actually was in the middle of Pasco. And when Steve was on the board, he actually had that area resurveyed. The town had it resurveyed. And that's when it was determined that this was not the street. This actually was the street. And now this is the driveway. There's a little piece of like where trees are here. And then the street.
Mm-hmm.
That goes down into the water.
But, you know, well, you'd be hard pressed if you were sitting there trying to figure out which way down with the water.
Yeah. Because okay, well, for this fence, what the issue is.
Well, the issue is setbacks. Like, where is the front yard?
Whose front yard? The lady that's asking for this fence?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the green line is where's her property line? It's showing there. Is it?
Here's the yeah, real the property yellow, line.
I see it. Okay.
Here, I'll say there's front property line along Tasker Lane. Right, that's what I want to make sure we're on the same page about.
Okay, so she comes, looks like she hits, what, a corner over here?
That might be her actual property line.
No, it doesn't go that far. It only goes halfway down the hill. It only goes, go back up, back up, back up, back up, back up. It only goes to about here. No, that's even too far.
Yeah.
The peg used to be, I want to say just a little where the shadows are right there.
Right. Like here?
Yeah.
We did she, I'm sure she had it.
You guys, somebody had the plot plan?
Yeah. Plot plan when she
built
the house.
When that property was up for sale and they had it plotted.
It was there, wasn't it?
Yeah. There was a peg that went there. And then it went diagonal up to here. And the reason I know that is I used to mow that.
Yeah.
Now she, because we used to be down there and the town wasn't doing it, so we did it.
Did I not pass the plot?
I haven't seen it.
I'm sorry. I'm like, guys, do you have it?
Well, one of the other problems is what was the lot size we approved the house?
Well, that's it. It's what you got always got to go back to and look at that. But she thinks she owns down to the water. She's convinced she does. She wants to put up the fence, so I understand.
Yes, mm-hmm. And that no one will be.
So nobody can walk by there.
Well,
you do that.
Trey Heraldi's her contractor. And I talked to him today. He just dropped it off today. Okay. And I said, look, fences and floodplains, they don't really match, especially when you're going against the flow of floodwaters. So let me turn on the floodplain here.
What's the orange line? What's the orange line up there?
That's the
sewer line?
That may be the green line on that.
Oh, that's the wrong parcel line.
So what?
The wrong parcel line. That's why I put the blue line on here, was to try to approximate where the actual property line
is. What is the lot coverage on that?
She owns a lot in the back, too.
I know that.
Yeah.
Well, it would have fit when we approved the house.
Yes. Yeah. We gave her 5 feet somewhere.
Yeah.
We gave her 5 feet.
It's R3, I think. It's R3. Yeah.
It's 50%. Yeah. But it shouldn't be 50% that close to the water.
Well,
it is very critical area.
I get 25.
Measure.
Because she is waterfront.
But there's only a limitation.
She's a water view. She doesn't own the waterfront.
Well, I don't know. Let's see what state tax assessment says about if. Well, hang on. I'm going to turn off the floodplain.
I'm going to tell you because I mowed that area and the pegs were not down the whole way. They were only halfway down. It wasn't even halfway down the hill.
Mm-hmm. Well, this will be kind of important.
It went on a diagonal because the one coming off of Bladen.
Tasker was here, and then it went diagonal.
We gave her an extra 5 feet, but I think the 5 feet was side setback or something. Correct. As what I'm getting at is no fence can go perpendicular to the flow of floodwaters, right? So floodwater is going to come this way.
Uh-huh.
So they can't put a fence there. So no fence, okay?
But there's still the issue of how far can these two fence lines come down towards the river? I mean, she's got a plot plan, right?
She wants to
put. And I don't have a survey, so I can't really argue
I'm
where her property is.
A survey of this property.
I don't have a. You have a survey?
Well,
I don't have one.
You can't do that. No, because this property, I'm telling you, and it didn't went. It didn't go this way. The property, there was a peg here, and then this one was up here. This was not her property.
When you come down this way, there's a. There's
I would
a,
ask there's her two for the survey
because like it was done. You got to walk through them and get through, but. There and then you I've walked up here.
And that's one of the reasons I was asking you because I knew this was coming.
Okay.
He needs sheet there.
I can't require her to provide a survey of her property.
I think because of the fact we were asking for it to be surveyed because I knew this was coming, and that's why I asked you how close are we to having that survey complete.
Yeah. Did she provide a plot copy at all? And this is it?
This is it.
Because this is just her doing this. Yeah,
just when I read
like it. Anyone else who applies for a permit.
However, it's infringing on count property. And anybody else, any other one that has come in that has been close to town property.
You can walk all the way up there and see that.
Yes.
It's not there. No fences.
I mean, I don't even know.
She could put her fence back up here on top of the hill. Oh, was it done in fact?
And I hear what you're saying, Ursula. They submitted a plot plan to build the house.
Uh-huh.
So I could go
it's pull be that file somewhere.
I could pull that file.
Yes.
But it still may not shed any light on
where's the file?
Alleged town-owned land.
Is it in your drawer?
It's not my drawer. It was too long ago. But down at the Avalon building. So I can find it.
She's taking over a lot more than she's really allowed to. Yeah, she's took
all this is not her property.
I know what it is.
Where do you think the town property is?
Well, actually, there's a long.
No, I'm on the map.
Here, let's.
The town. I'm going to tell you right here. There is. There's a rut in the ground because of the way the water runs. Okay.
Right.
The peg was, like, right about here, and then it went back up this way.
Mm-hmm.
It never was down here and it never went that way.
Let's make a copy.
And the only reason I know that is because I used to mow it.
I don't.
And when the original, when the person had it before, the investors that were going to do all that, they had it serving and the pegs were there. I don't know what happened to the pegs. The pegs are no longer there.
She,
I'm going to rely on this and say this. I don't see how we can approve it if you're telling me it's town property.
Well, we don't. We need to verify that. And this just goes all the way to the original when she ended up at the appeals board. I just don't understand. She's pushing.
No.
She's pushing. But she doesn't want people walking out there. She thinks she can keep people and put up a fence. And she told somebody a while back she was going to put up a fence.
Yep.
So
this, since it was submitted today, still has to go through the historic district.
It was like right here, and then there was another one that was up here, and the property line actually went this way, not what she's doing.
And now, Renee, that's survey and the sewer line easement was different than...
I'm talking, no, this was a survey of the property. It had nothing to do with that. There were pegs in the ground.
But that's two different things, you know, survey and town or sewer line easement and town and land.
Yeah, well, we're talking about town
both.
The 10-foot, there's an easement, a 10-foot easement.
But it's also the fact that her property was only here. The pegs were here, not down here.
Yeah, on the old Charlestown map, there was no lot there at that intersection.
So is that why it's town and land? There's like a little triangle up there.
And that's what I'm saying. That's
I see.
Exactly what you're saying. What I'm saying.
Her property.
Problem for a surveyor is what in the heck kind of deed am I going to go find to survey that for you? You know, they were running into a pit log.
Isn't that the buffer?
But I'll give them that map. Say here.
Isn't that the buffer area? It's along the water.
But it shouldn't have anything within 15 feet of water. Because of the fact of the easement that was put in here, there should be documentation of that and where the property is. But that triangle, where, now that you're saying that, that's saying that I'm telling you that's where.
That's where it's coming from. It's kind of like Market Square. Yeah, right. We're here at the fire company.
I'm along the water like this.
Yeah.
I had to keep that emergency generator 50 feet
over. Oh, that's cool. Come on.
Because it's the buffer. You can't put anything within 50 feet
right
of the river. So just off the bat, can't put anything in. Seems like a fence. All right. So at least I don't know how far back 50 feet.
But look, this is 100 feet, Ken.
Mm-hmm. Do you see how this? See how this? Just as
that's a 100-foot buffer right there.
Is it?
Okay.
Right. See this here?
What I have driven up.
Do you have the red splits here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
There's a split right now, from here to here.
This is a driveway.
Okay.
This is not the town road.
Okay.
This is a private lane that goes to what's Richard's place into McMullen's.
Right.
Pastor is this.
Yes, because it comes down and there's two white posts that sit the down town, there that town, shows where the road goes.
The town has two posts right there.
Is that white post that's closest?
Closest to where she put
the sign. That is
it's property. The post is really close to where the property marker was.
Yes.
It's not that far away from where that post is. That's why I'm saying that. And then I always thought it was weird because I even marked out when they had the metal pegs here. They were metal and they were they had red flags on them. And I thought, wow, that is so weird that it went back up. This was not straight across. It went in an angle. But me and the kids were always down on that beach and it was never mowed. So I'm the one that mowed that bank.
Okay.
So
when I
told Trey, you know, you can't build a fence in the floodplain, he was like, all right, we'll take the fence off. I could go back to Trey and say, hey, you can't put your, you know, on this napkin sketch here, you can't put your fence past these two points. And he might say, all right, we'll put it there. And then that might be that. But if they want to argue that, we would have to get a survey.
I'm saying
they would, right?
We would. We would, because it's town property.
Yeah.
And it's going to show where the town property is. And the only reason I'm saying that is because we want to make that more of a walking, possibly golf cart area to come up through there.
Can't do that.
Why?
Well, the lady, what's her name? She's got her two fences going like this. And there's only
the town put that in.
Oh, to keep golf carts from going up.
It wasn't the golf cart.
It was whatever else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's anyway. Why we were talking about to determine where the town was. We were going to kind of rope it off a little bit, not a fence, but to put it that you didn't go on to the people's property, it would stay on there.
How about this? We don't have enough information not to make a decision on this permit. I like the idea of the zoning administrator pursuing this matter and see if it's withdrawn. And if it is
revised.
Or revised.
Right.
Or if not, let's get it to, since we have a town commissioner here, let's get it authorized to have a survey of that area anyhow. Or I think we're not going to do a town survey. How about that? This group isn't going to do it unless the town.
Can we ask for her hard copy, please, or pull it out of the file? Original hard copy?
Let's look at our job.
I'll do that too.
Okay. Still good to our job, and this is what I'm proposing here. Our job is, he's phase one, he's going to talk to them and see if they don't want to do it. If they do want to do it, phase two is that the town commissioners, through Renee, will order a survey to give planning and zoning so that we know where the town property is.
Okay.
And from now to then, we're not going to act on this.
Okay.
Is there a general agreement on that?
Fine.
Robin?
Agreed.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. And because this is a pretty critical.
It is. It really is.
Thing to do. And we're not required to do it because it came in late. We're not required to do it because we don't have to start. But be that just procedural.
Yeah.
But
gives you an idea of what stuff we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was more the fact that because as we're doing the whole area, and now that we're doing here, because we just had a town hall survey that it took forever to do. That whole area needs to be surveyed so we know exactly where the town property
this,
is.
There this, was a by time. The way, is exactly why you have a town commissioner assigned to planning and zoning.
Mm-hmm.
Because issues come up that involve the town as a property owner,
mm-hmm.
and they need to be represented.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's touchy, but people walk up and down there. I walk up and down there. People walk up and down there all the time.
It's a public therapy, and in this right of adverse claim,
right,
you know, can kick in every time. It's mine, and nobody told me it wasn't, and therefore it's mine. And if nothing tells the adverse claim. Yeah. Anything else for the good of the order?
No.
Would you all like to go outside and get wet? Say aye.
Is it raining?
Do you have anything else to say, Robin?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. We're adjourned, Robin.